Good morning, everyone. It's my great pleasure to welcome Swami Chaitanandaji, who is the head of our Vedanta Society of St. Louis, one of now our very senior Swamis of the order. It seems odd to me because I still remember him when he was a young Swami and I was a baby in the order. But Thakur says that time itself is Maya. So it's hard to imagine where the years have gone. Now Maharaj is such a senior Swami, so well known. He's written so many books and has contributed so much to the order through new translations and compilations and the life of Sri Ramakrishna and Holy Mother and Girish Ghosh. A beautiful compilation of Swamiji's teachings, Vedanta Voice of Freedom, and many, many other books. He has a wonderful collection of photographs because from his years in Southern California, he worked very closely with one of our devotees who was connected with Disney. So Swamiji has many things to his credit, these two things especially, and of course a wonderful speaker and everything. So we're very, very happy that Swamiji agreed to come. He's been in this country now over 40 years, and I've known him close to that length of time also because he had a strong connection with Southern California. He was with Swami Prabhavanandaji at one time, and of course I joined there, so he would come very often in the summer. So anyhow, Maharaj, I'm very, very happy that you were able to come this time. The retreat will be on stories of Vedanta monks. So there'll be two sessions. The first begins now and goes till noon. And Swamiji will decide when and if he wants questions. But that'll be the first session. Then we'll have lunch. After that, we'll show a video presentation. I believe Swami Bhuteshanandaji, Maharaj, his reminiscences of Swami Shivananda and some others. Yeah, it'll be very nice. Then there'll be a bhajan period here from 3 to 4. And then we'll have the afternoon section from 4 to 5:30 p.m. So we encourage everyone to stay throughout the whole day. There's no gap in between. You can stay. There'll be something going on the whole time. Then also, if you like to stay for arati and meditation, that'll begin at 6:30. We'll end our meditation at 7:30. And then we'll have satsang, very informal meeting with Swamiji, and potluck dinner. So you're all welcome to spend the day with us. Then tomorrow, Swamiji will speak at our regular 11 o'clock hour on Sri Sharada Devi and her divine play. These are all from books that Maharaj has written. So it'll be very nice. That will be 12 noon. Tomorrow night, Swamiji will also be here. So we'll have satsang. That will begin around 7:30 tomorrow night, and then potluck dinner also, and then he'll go back on Monday. So Maharaj, I will turn everything over to you, and I'm sure everyone will enjoy hearing about these things. Swamiji has so many reminiscences. He collected so many stories. He spoke to so many of our seniors and sadhus. He really recorded so many things that are invaluable, the things that otherwise would be lost to all of us. So Maharaj, please.
Bandau Santa Santana Charuna Dukha Pradau Bhayo Bhicha Kuchu Barana Bichurita Eko Prana Harilei Milato Eko Daruna Dukha Dei. From Tulsidasa, I bow down to the holy and the unholy. Both give me pain. When an unholy person comes to me, I get pain. And when a holy person departs from me, I get pain. So I bow down to both. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Peace, peace, peace be unto all. As you have heard, Swami Atmagyananda ji told you that my topic, stories of Vedanta monks. We have vast literature on Vedanta, on Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, Swamiji, and the disciple. We don't have too many information about the next generation. Sri Ramakrishna is the origin. Then came his 16 monastic disciples. That is the first generation. Then came the second generation who they did not see Sri Ramakrishna, but they are trained by the disciples of Sri Ramakrishna. Second generation. We are the third generation. We did not see Ramakrishna. We did not see Ramakrishna Jari's disciples, but we met next generation and learned from them how Sri Ramakrishna's disciple trained them. In spiritual life, training is very vital. Everything is not changed in the book. So I tried to explore the second generation. I worked on two volumes. This is the first volume, Prachin Sadhuder Katha. And second volume will be out very soon. There are 120 monks, their reminiscences, their spiritual experiences, their adventure in spiritual life. You will get a lot of information about these monks. I started to visit monastery when I was 14 years old, came to know about from 1950, and came to know many Swamis. We heard from them about Swamiji, about Swami Sri Ram Holy Mother and the other Jari disciples. So I have a habit to keep diaries, and some diaries I got from the Jade monks, and some I interviewed them. So all these collections, I put them together and made this book. They are very vital in our spiritual life. They tell us the pitfalls in spiritual life, their life's experience, their ancient wisdom we received without effort. Sometimes I think that is, perhaps you bought a lottery ticket with $2 and got several million dollars. So without just spending anything, we got all these spiritual experiences of these great monks. In the Bhagavatam, there are 24 gurus. We hear Avadhuta had 24 gurus. From each one of them, we learn something. So we have, most of you have are initiated. You have Diksha Guru, the guru who gave you initiation. Then there are Shiksha Guru, from whom we can learn. Sri Ramakrishna says, as long as I live, so long do I learn. Jato din bachi, tato din shiki. Never say that I know everything. Ms. Josephine MacLeod mentioned, you people think Vivekananda was a preacher. We see Vivekananda was a great learner. His religion is to learn. That is the reason he is always fresh. If you read his lectures, always fresh, something new. Learn, second generation, third generation. third generation. It is not possible to know the whole history of Sri Ramakrishna and the Jari disciples. But the scattered thoughts and ideas and reminiscences, we try to put them together. And they formed the history. Do you know whose names will be recorded in the history? History is just like a golden boat. Too many people cannot be accommodated there. The masses cannot go there. Only few people will be the passenger of that golden boat of history who contributed to humanity maximum. Their names will be recorded in the history, not everybody. Rich people, these people, that people, no. Moreover, in every country, we know the people are worshipped who have noble character, like Mahatma Gandhi. What did he do? He practiced only two things in his life, ahimsa and satya, nonviolence and truthfulness, and he became Mahatma. Charitra puja, worshipping the character. So when we see these monks, we see their characters. As I was telling last night, what is character? Swamiji defined, whatever you do, whatever you think, they leave some impressions in the mind. Those impressions form habit, and habit forms character. So each human being is nothing but the sum total of his actions and thoughts, character. If you put 80 thoughts, 80 good actions every day in and day out, your character is bound to be good, and vice versa. That is the way it works. So in spiritual life, there is a story about Sadi, a famous mystic poet of Persia. One of his friends came and picked up some roses from his garden and says, "I am taking this flower to my home." Sadi looked at him and said, "Those flowers will live only 4 or 5 days. Those flowers will fade and fragrance will go away. But do you know what I shall do? I shall make Gulistan." Gulistan. In Persia, Gulistan means rose garden. "I shall build a rose garden where you will get fresh flowers every day, and its fragrance will spread." So he started to write about stories on morality, ethics, spirituality, poems, and that book became a classic, Gulistan. How to make a human being perfect, beautiful, wonderful. So spiritual life, we find in these disciples and the monks how they build their life. That is worth seeing. As I always say, that everything is not in the book. So what do? We got some oral tradition. Whole Upanishad is nothing but oral tradition. That is the reason it is called Shruti. Guru Parampara. From guru to disciple, this is the way we got all the Upanishads. So whatever we heard, learned from these monks, as the aim and the Jari disciple saw and heard from Sri Ramakrishna, then they gave this next generation. In this way, it rolls from generation to generation. Which is very, very important. Swamiji once said to Premananda, "I kept all these treasures in this place, in Bellore Math. You just protect it. After 5th, 6th generation will come, they will take it and just spread all over the world." Nivedita also said to Chanchin that, you know, after 170 or 75 years, Swamiji says Vedanta movement will go down. Then it will spread like bonfire. Because truth cannot be hidden. Truth, blazing fire cannot be covered. It will come out. The spiritual experiences of Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, Swamiji are incomparable. I sometimes say, our organization is just 100 years old. We may be poorest, youngest, smallest, but very richest in spirituality. Behind us, 5,000 years of Vedantic tradition. Then, Sri Ramakrishna Avatar, Holy Mother, Swamiji, and the Jari disciples, all their spiritual treasures are our property. When the parents die, who get the property? Children, they inherit. So we are the children of Sri Ramakrishna. We inherit these spiritual treasures of the Master. All of you are. So we are rich. So we shall hear all some of the stories of these old monks from, and I shall try to tell you. I have so many things to tell, but anyhow, I shall try to tell you as much as I can. Sometimes I take perhaps one or two from each Swami, then you will get some taste. I was initiated by Swami Shankarananda Ji, who was the private secretary of Swami Brahmananda. We asked a question to him, Maharaj, could you give us some advice? Advice. Only advice. Nobody practices it, only asks advice. Then he said, read the gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. Sri Ramakrishna answered all questions. If Ramakrishna's answers do not satisfy you, my answers will not satisfy you either. Read the gospel of Ramakrishna. It is a unique religious literature in the world. Unique. No avatars, teachings have never been recorded so authentically. The date, person, place. And James said, I have never recorded anything which I have not heard, which I have not seen. I am the eyewitness of all these things what Sri Ramakrishna said. It is an amazing book. Another Swami, I used to watch Swami Vishuddhananda Ji. Every afternoon, devotees would come to him and he would sit and only talk about Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, disciples. And would create such a beautiful atmosphere. Somebody asked, but Maharaj, could you tell me that whether Sri Ramakrishna, he was a disciple of Holy Mother, whether Ramakrishna and Holy Mother, who is great among both of them? He says, I do not know, but one thing I can tell you, Sri Ramakrishna worshipped Holy Mother. Now you decide who is great. Then he made a beautiful comment. You know, Sri Ramakrishna used to see Holy Mother from three angles. And Holy Mother also used to see Sri Ramakrishna from three angles. Sri Ramakrishna sees Sarada, my wife, my disciple, my Ishto, my chosen deity, Divine Mother. Holy Mother used to see Sri Ramakrishna, my husband, my guru, my Ishto, my chosen deity. Their relationship is something very high, which is, we cannot explain what kind of relationship that. I wrote a chapter on that. Aki Brinte Dutiful, two flowers on one stem. Same Holy Mother and Sri Ramakrishna, these two personalities, two persons we see, but they are coming from that Sachidananda. One male form, female form. One to play, the divine play in this world. Same Shakti in two forms. I met Swami Madhavananda ji. He is a great Swami, really great. I still remember when he was not well. I was in training center in 64, 65. I had a night duty in his room. We had to give rest to his attendants so that they can get some sleep. So my duty was 11 to 2 o'clock, night. I loved to sit in the corner of his room with a small table lamp, and I used to read. If he wants to go to the bathroom, I'll have to help him. That's all. It so happened, one morning he was meditating on his bed. He was the president of the order. And he forgot where he was. After meditation, when he bowed down, he fell from the bed on the floor. His femur bone broke. He was taken to the hospital, unperturbed. I remember with the stretcher we put him to the car and he went to Seva Pratishthan, had surgery, came back. Then one day I asked him, Maharaj, how are you? All right. Uncle, do you have that pain? He did not like that. I should remind his body. Then he put a counter question. Are you all right? Uncle, yes. No, you are not all right. Uncle, no, Maharaj, I am all right. No, you are not all right. No human body is perfect. If I send you to a doctor, he will find somewhere, someplace in your body, something wrong. No human body is perfect. You may be vigorous, youth or old, doesn't matter. Everybody has some problem. I got a great lesson. One day he was standing, at that time mission office was near in front of the temple, so holding the grill of his room facing the Ganges, just standing there and watching. So the monk entered in his room and waiting to draw his attention. So then after some time he looked and, are you here? What do you want? How long have you been here? Maharaj, I'm here 15, 20 months, 20 minutes. But I have little curiosity. I'm curious what you were doing. I saw that how you were intently looking, what you were seeing. Oh, you want to know what I'm seeing? Yes. I was watching the leaf of that coconut tree. And I saw the wind from the Ganges is blowing, and in which direction the wind goes, the leaf goes that direction. Sometimes leaf goes this way, that way, sometimes this way. Whatever direction the wind goes, the leaf goes that way. That I was watching. And I was thinking that if I could be the leaf of that coconut tree, then whatever direction Sri Ramakrishna directs me, I shall go to that direction. Do you know what that means? Full Sharanagati. 100% surrender to God. Whatever direction Master will take me, I shall go to that direction. You see, these things are not in the books. Only seeing him, we can know that what he was doing. It was in 1953. I was at that time, 10th grade. I was a volunteer of Holy Mother Centenary Committee in Udbodhan. My job was to take care of the devotee's shoes. If you come, I shall give you a ticket, give your shoes. Then when you come back, I shall give you shoes back. That was my job. So, and at that time, there was a riot also in Calcutta. So our manager Swami went to Belur Mathi. At that time, you have seen the great women of India. He was the one, Swami Madhavananda was the editor. The moment evening comes, light off. At 9 o'clock, the light will be on. So he came from evening from Calcutta. Immediately light was off. He could not attend, waiting outside. When the light was on, he immediately knocked. What do you want? You are here at night, so late. Maharaj, I came in the evening, but as I came, your light was off. I could not get in. Why did you knock at my door? Well, I don't want to disturb your meditation. But this is an urgent thing. You are the editor, you will have to take a decision. Foolish. My meditation and my work have become one. Work and worship. I do not see any difference. You know, we sometimes talk about this. Do you know what tradition taught us? Work and worship. Work as worship. Work is worship. This is the way it goes. Work is worship. How the work can be worship? My cooking, my doing, all these things, cleaning, all these things will be worship. It is. I shall tell you one incident I heard from Swami Sarvabhautanandaji, Boston. He wanted to be a monk. He was initiated by Swami Akhandananda in Bombay. And Akhandananda says, really you want to be a monk? Yes. Walk from Bombay to Konkhal, barefooted, carrying no money, begging from door to door. Go. Let me see how we can become a monk. Boom. He started to walk from Bombay to Hardwar, more than 1,000 miles. After 3 months, he arrived in Konkhal. It was most probably 1936. Kalyananda Swamiji's disciple asked, do you really want to be a monk? Well, yes. Listen, young man. You know, I got a great lesson from that teaching. Let me tell you what he says in Bengali first. Mandire puja, noibeddo, prarthana. Correct? When you go to the temple, what do? You first do the puja, then you offer food to the Lord, and then you pray. These three things you do. This is my hospital. Here, seva. Aushat potho are duty mishti gotha. In the hospital, seva, these patients have come. You'll have to serve them, nurse them, nursing. Second, there you offered food, here, aushat, medicine, and diet. There you prayed, here, say a few sweet words to these patients. If you can reconcile these two, then be a monk here. That is real practical Vedanta. that we learn from our Swamis. How the work can be transformed into worship. Swami Niramananda Ji told another story. Swami Madhavananda Ji in the evening time was going to a lawyer. And Swami Arupananda, Madhav's disciple, both are Madhav's disciples, Arupananda, Mother's attendant. Hey, Nirmal, where are you going? He's Madhavananda Ji's premonishing name. Rajbihari Da, his name was Rajbihari Maharaj. I am going to a lawyer. We'll have to check some property adjacent to Bellur Math. So I am going to consult with you are going to lawyer. Do you remember when we joined the monastery? We found the spiritual current created by the disciples of Ramakrishna. And now the next generation is coming. They are doing office work, typing, accounting. Swami Madhavananda Ji, listen. The Rajbihari Da, Jar Jirakum Kopal, we have a good fortune, so we saw that next generation did not have that fortune, so they are doing this work. But we did not ask them to come. This young generation, they read Swamiji's book, Holy Mother's book, Sri Ramakrishna's book, got inspired and wanted to dedicate their lives for the order. We did not invite them to come. Sri Ramakrishna will look after them. Sri Ramakrishna is not ungrateful. Then he said, Acha Rajbihari Da, Ganges in Haridwar is very pure, clean water. The Ganges in Calcutta, polluted, dirty water, muddy water. Acha Rajbihari Da, that Ganges and these Ganges, is there any difference of its purifying power? Her purifying power is the same in Haridwar as well as in Calcutta. Swami Arupananda Ji said, he's brilliant. The people, those who are coming, devotees, the another Swami said, if you are beaten by a big cobra, he will die. And if you are beaten by a small cobra, he will die. Poison is the same. You will think, oh, I am beaten by a small cobra, I am all right. He will not all right, he will die. Similarly, in Sri Ramakrishna's Shakti, power, which is coming from generation to generation, it has power, tremendous power. I sometimes make a joke, you know, Obama has two daughters. They move in the White House freely. Secret Service people, they do not disturb them. Oh, with President's daughter, they have free access in the whole White House. We are President's daughter. So if we are children of Sri Ramakrishna, we have access everywhere. Because the name, power. It happened, I remember I heard from Swami Pramodananda Ji. A young man wanted to be a monk. So he came to Madhavananda Ji and says, so he said, Maharaj, if this boy is reading the gospel of Ramakrishna, he wants to be a monk. So Madhavananda Ji says, reading gospel of Ramakrishna, one cannot be a monk. Ask him to read Swami Vivekananda. Then he will get inspired, then he will be a monk. Reading gospel of Ramakrishna, he will see God. So he does not need to be a monk. If you see God, you don't need to be a monk. then what's happened? One of my friends told me, a young monk has no peace, so went to the Shri Madhavanandaji and said, Maharaj, I have no peace of mind. Oh, you have no peace. Did you notice from Calcutta, South Calcutta, some rich people come with their fancy car, with their wife and children, and they come and take the dust off your feet in Belur Math, and they get peace. And you are complaining that you have no peace. What can I do? That rich people come and take the dust of your feet and get peace, and you are complaining that you have no peace. In that connection, I remember that one of our brahmacharis in Portland, he died. He went to Swami Asheshanandaji and said, Maharaj, I have some problems. Problems? Pray to the mother. After a few days, he came back and said, Maharaj, I'm depressed. Depressed? Get used to it. Get used to it. We have all kinds of there are so many stories of the Swamis. I remember Swami Virasharanandaji. He asked me a question. I said, Maharaj, I think so. Yeah, he scolded me right and left. I do not want to hear the vague words from you. Either say, I know, or say, I don't know. I think so, maybe this and that. That, do you know what that means? Based on your words, I am going to make a decision. If your words are wrong, my decision will be wrong. I got a great lesson. Be specific. I think so, maybe. It should not work. When we are brahmacharis in the training center in Belur Math, in the evening time after meditation, dong, one bell will come. That means 8:30. That means Sri Ramakrishna Sapar will go to the temple. And dong, dong, then means 9 o'clock the food will come down. So this half an hour, we used to go to some senior swamis and listen to their experiences. So I remember we went to Swami Nirbhananandaji, who was an attendant of Swami Brahmananda, later became vice president. At that time he was manager. He told us, that story I shall never forget. He went to Swami Turiyananda and said, Maharaj, we left home, family, father, mother, everything. Came to Sri Ramakrishna, but we have not seen God. Turiyananda looked at him and said, you have come under Kalpataru tree. Kalpataru means wish-fulfilling tree. From that tree, the fruits are hanging. If you stay under that tree, one day a fruit will fall, you will get it. But if you want the fruit right now, shake the tree. Shake the tree. That means self-effort. You have come to Sri Ramakrishna. You will not be disappointed. Master will fulfill your wish. But you will have to make an effort. Make an effort. That's a great lesson. There was another Swami, Omkaranandaji. I still remember, it was 1966. The Kankur Gachi Jogodhan, the temple dedication ceremony. So I went, Maharaj, I have come, my training is over, so I have come to bow down to you. What? Your training is over? So what did you do with your shoes? Did anybody beat you with shoes? I said, no, then you are not trained. Your ego is not yet shattered. Your ego is there. Your training is over. Look. Our training will continue. There is no moral holiday. He used to tell me, Kuchiye porashe. Go deeply. Don't be superficial. But I am grateful to another Swami who was the principal of our training center. He told me some of the life of his life experiences. He was then a monk in Deoghar, Swami Shivananda, Jariji, disciple of Sri Ramakrishna, was in Deoghar. One day Swami Shivananda asked, do you know what should be the attitude toward work? We are working for Sri Ramakrishna. What should be our attitude? Well, Maharaj, it is a privilege. Right, privilege. Many are called, but few are chosen. It is a great fortune for you that you got an advantage. You got a privilege to work for Sri Ramakrishna. Sri Ramakrishna does not take everybody's work. I sometimes ask people, those who come to our center, you know, give some service here. Do you know what Swamiji said? He wrote in Belur Math rule book, every center of Sri Ramakrishna is a limb, ongo, Sri Ramakrishna ongo, Putiji center. So we are not seeing Sri Ramakrishna, but we are seeing this center. If you serve this center, you are serving Sri Ramakrishna. That's what Swamiji said. Service is so essential. If you read Vedanta literature, what does it say? Nishkamo karma, chitta shuddhartham, Shankara says. Unselfish action purifies the mind. What next? Upasana, chitta ikagram. Then when you pray, meditate, do you know what paramdhi means? Means the mind will be one-pointed. And then next come self-knowledge, atmokya. Nishkam karma, unselfish action is very important. I all of a sudden the other day when I was reading Holy Mother's book, all of a sudden, one sentence struck me. Still, it is working in my mind. Perhaps I may write on that. Swami Parameshwarananda, a disciple of Holy Mother, expressed a desire to go to the Himalayas to practice austerity. And all monks have some desires. I shall go to the Himalayas, you know. And we think, there we shall be a Mahatma, our illumined soul. Then Holy Mother said to him, hey Baba, hawa gunte jabe? My son, are you going to the Himalayas to count the breath? What is the count of breath? Pranayama. When you inhale, 4, hold, 16, exhale, 8. Inhale, 4, hold, 16, exhale, 8. That is the way we count breath. Pranayama. Hey Baba, how gunte jabe? My son, are you going to the Himalayas to count the breath? You are working for me, is it not tapasya? It is a great tapasya. You know, such small teachings, it struck me. Still, it is working in my mind. Baba, how gunte jabe? Some people leave the monastery and go to the Himalayas, thinking that I shall be looming. Not so easy. I was talking of Swami Bodhatmananda, great monk. I remember after my initiation, I had no money. So one of my brahmachari friends gave me 2 rupees. So 1 rupee I kept for Dakshina and 8 annas fruits, 8 annas sweets. In this way I went to Belur Math, Good Friday 1961, for Diksha. Then, after initiation, I went to him and said, did you give Guru Dakshina, Uncle? Yes. No, you did not give Guru Dakshina. I did. No, you did not give Guru Dakshina. Maharaj, 1 rupee I gave. No. Then he explained what is Dakshina. Today, Guru puts a seed in your heart, mantra. That seed will be a plant, will be a tree. It will bloom. It will produce fruit. Then you pick up that fruit and give to Guru. That is called Guru Dakshina. That means God realization. He used to interpret things in a different way. Then he said, well, there are 3 kinds of monk. Tele bhaja, ghiye bhaja, and ghiye bhaje chini rasa dovan. Tele bhaja means ordinary monks, you know, just took an ochre cloth, just living in the monastery, easy going life, you know, ordinary. Ghiye bhaja means they are good monk, very, very learned and very good nature, good behavior. And ghiye bhaja tirimane, they are very knowledgeable at the same time full of devotion. Highly intellectual, highly devotional. See, he used to tell, now we find out in which group do you want to go. I used to watch him. You know, when I was a training center, I took a vow that without seeing Sri Ramakrishna's face, I shall not see anybody's face. 2 years, 4 o'clock in the temple. And I saw this Swami also. He was in his 70s, not well. We will never miss Mangalarati. He will come and stand before Sri Ramakrishna. You know, this sadhu's nishtha, steadfast devotion, and the modern generation we see, what a difference sometimes. You know, it is really worth seeing, I tell you frankly, it is not in the books. The devotion, standing in front of Sri Ramakrishna. Old monk. One day he was telling, we had a Sanskrit teacher, he has 9 PhDs. So he said, since Swami Bodhatmananda did such good work, he will go to Brahmaloka. So I told him, Maharaj, you will go to Brahmaloka, you will not have to meditate anymore. I said, who told you? I said, Pandit Mashai. You ask the Pandit Mashai in which loka he is going. Sometimes it's so funny. It so happened, we are brahmacharis. In the training center, each person has a plot of land. You grow your flower. So I got some marigold, very nice plants. I planted it nice and gave water and fertilizer. Do you know what happened? Next morning I found some squirrels, chipmunks, cleared my whole garden. So I was very depressed. So in the afternoon when I came for gardening, I was really brokenhearted. I worked so hard. And that plant we brought from Shillong, the maximum marigold. I thought that one day I shall make a garland and give to Sri Ramakrishna, and it was cleared, the whole thing. Fresh twig, finish. So I was saying, Maharaj, I am very depressed. What happened? My marigold plants are all gone. Then he was trying to console me. You are like a dog barking You know why? There is a room. Whole room is full of mirror. And the dog entered there, and the dog saw its own reflection, gheu, gheu, gheu. That person, the other dog was gheu, gheu, gheu. So seeing his own reflection, he is making noise and hitting the mirror. So you are like that kind of dog. Why? In the Vedanta class, he says everybody is Atman. So squirrel is also the Atman. You are the Atman, squirrel is the Atman, and the twigs are the Atman that you read in the class. That is very difficult, Vedanta Maharaj. Then I discovered my own theory. From absolute standpoint, Brahman alone is real. This is all Maya. But there is a relative, we call it Babharik Shatta. Empirical knowledge is important. Shankara says, as long as you have a I consciousness, this world is real. If there is no I consciousness, the world vanishes. Anyhow, he says, I sometimes give this illustration. The unreal guru, through unreal mantra, they can remove the unreal ignorance of the unreal disciple. All are unreal. The unreal doctor, through unreal medicine, can remove the unreal disease of the unreal patient. All are unreal. So similarly, from the Vedantic standpoint, you know, this is the way it goes. Then one day I was doing gardening and said, in the Chandogya Upanishad, there is a mantra called Acharyavan Purusho Veda. The person who has a teacher, he knows. So when Bodhatpanandaji was going for a walk, I said, Maharaj, Acharyavan Purusho Veda. Then he stopped. What do you say? I said this. Acharyavan Purusho Veda. Purusho Veda, then you know. What do you know? You know Brahman. So in word of Brahman, Namato Paschat, Namasto Purushat, Namata Uttarata, Dakshinata, the Nora Brahman should get salutation from the east, west, south, north. So he started to move and began to salute me. I'm just telling you that how these great monks, not only dry discussion, even in the working field also, they teach us. It is amazing that how they teach. Another day, I got another lesson that I shall never forget. You see, we are brahmacharis, we are served the foods, all the monks. Then we shall eat. So, a senior monk, Swami Gangeshanandaji, he made some remark about brahmachari. And he is our principal, and he is really our caretaker and father, you may say. He used his strong voice and opposed this old monk. Don't think that these brahmacharis are orphans. And then nobody expected that this monk, the great monk, lost his temper in the dining hall in front of 250 monks. And he knew he was a great monk. Lost his temper. Next morning, I saw this principal Swami going to that old Swami in his room and knocked at his door. And I saw he fell at his feet. Maharaj, forgive me. Yesterday I lost my temper. Then I saw the two monks there embracing and they're reconciled in no time, you know. Do you know what? Then I went to him. Maharaj, could you tell me the secret? Let me tell you the secret. Last evening, I did not get my meditation. This early morning, I did not get the meditation. So, I wanted to reconcile so that I can get good meditation without disturbing him, irritated mind. So, immediately, then he told me, in your life, if any problem comes, Don't linger the problems. Try to solve it instantly, immediately. Even showing your humility. You may not be right. You may be right. But still, just ego. Some people's ego is so much, you cannot change the world. Here I got a great lesson. Do not disturb your meditation. Every day when you sit in the shrine, always come to the shrine with a peaceful mind. But in this fighting disturbed me too now. I lost two meditations. A great lesson to learn from these people. Even in family life, sometimes quarreling, fighting, sometimes upeksha, be indifferent. I remember another monk, he was the legal department. I just joined. He told me, "Hello, young man, yes. Let me tell you a secret. I shall tell you a story of Tolstoy, the famous Russian philosopher. Tolstoy is a story. A Russian farmer had two bulls. He was plowing. One bull was very lazy, so he sold that bull to a butcher, and he was killed. Another bull was pulling the yoke, and that bull became old. The farmer was thinking, this bull served me all through his life. I shall not sell him to the butcher. Let him stay in my farm. I shall take care of him." That Swami was telling, don't think about your future and old age. Just work for Sri Ramakrishna like that faithful bull. Sri Ramakrishna will look after you. I got a great lesson. Just work for the master. He is not ungrateful. There are so many things to learn from this, from these Swamis. There are some funny Swamis are also there. When I came, one brahmachari, he was asking me, "Hello, young man, why are you here?" "Uncle, I have come here to realize God." "Realize God." "Realize God. Listen, young man, if you go forward, the authority will think that you are ambitious. That is not good in spiritual life. And if you stay backward, they will think that you are lazy. That is not good either. And if you neither go forward or backward, they will think you are stupid. Which one do you like? Ambitious, idle, or stupid? I just came from college. But Buddhatmananda Swami, during our convocation address, he gave another beautiful talk. Vidya Chatushpad. Learning has four quarters. One quarter comes from the guru. One quarter comes from the student. They reciprocate. One quarter comes from the co-students. And one quarter comes in the course of time. You go to the college and you always remember, the guru, teacher will give you one fourth. And one fourth will come, you will have to contribute. Only I'm listening and I'm not doing anything, it will not work. And sometimes you must discuss among them yourselves. That also helps. And one fourth comes in the course of time. Time factor is there. In the course of time, kalena. So he says, don't expect more than one fourth from me. He was giving a convocation address. I am a teacher, don't expect more than one fourth from me. Very funny. I was telling our Sarva Priyananda, he was talking Vedanta and Buddha. Then I told him, "Hey, Sarva Priyananda, listen to your story. It was, I think, Buddha, Shaiva Bodhatmananda, our principal Swami. I really understood what Buddha and Shankara stand for. Here is a boat. Shankara and Buddha both are passengers. Boat left the harbor, went into the deep sea. And Buddha looked upward. Buddha looked upward and saw void. What he expressed? Sarvam shunyam shunyam shunyam. Everything is void, void. And Shankara looked downward. He saw this water. He expressed sarvam purnam purnam purnam. Everything is full. Everything is full. Everything is full. One saw the negative side, one saw the positive side. Both are in the same boat. Both have the same experience, but expressed differently. Amazing. How we learn from the other persons. I was interviewing Swami Dharmeshananda in Banaras in 1982. I have the tape. He went to AIM. College students, Maharaj, Master Mashai. I don't believe in God. I have no faith in God. I don't know God. M said, I had the same problem. I had the same problem. Listen carefully. One day I went to Dakshineshwar. And after lunch, Sri Ramakrishna was resting. And I was near his feet. And I was watching him and just thinking, he's a man. He eats, he sleeps, he talks, he walks like other human beings. How can he be God? I was just thinking, sitting at the feet of Sri Ramakrishna. All of a sudden, Sri Ramakrishna jumped up. Hey, Master, ki bhavcho? Hey, Master, ki bhavcho? A.M., what are you thinking? What are you thinking? Eke bhavle, shab hoye jabe. Eke bhavle, shab hoye jabe. Eke bhavle, shab hoye jabe. If you think of me, you will get everything. After saying three times, Sri Ramakrishna started to talk to the Divine Mother. Mother, did I say that? And you said it. Did I say that? And you say it. He started to talk with Divine Mother. Mother, you said it. You said it. Saying so, he went into Samadhi. That day I realized that Sri Ramakrishna, who is God in human form, Sri Ramakrishna destroyed my doubt. You see, in this, look what Rama did. Killed Ravana. Krishna killed Kamsa and some demons. What Ramakrishna did? What did Ramakrishna? He did not kill any demons or anything. He killed the greatest demon one can think of. The name of that demon is doubt. That Swamiji said, Samshaya Rakshasa Nasha Mahastram Yami Gurum Sharanam Baba Vaidyam Naradeva Deva Jaya Jaya Naradeva. Master, you are born in this age to destroy this greatest demon. Doubt. Doubt is a great demon. When we read the gospel of Ramakrishna, when we read his teachings, his life, it is hard to disbelieve God. Look, Sri Ramakrishna was seated in front of the Vishnu temple in Dakshineshwar. He saw a light came from the Krishna's image, touched the Bhagavatam and touched the devotee. That vision convinced him, Bhakta, Bhagavat, Bhagavan, Teen, Hak. Bhakta, devotee, Bhagavan, God, and Bhagavat, the scripture, all three are one. It is his conviction, his vision and conviction. So sometimes I tell the devotees, our monks, you know, when the devotees come and if we serve them, we are serving God. There is no doubt about it. Look, Sri Ramakrishna's vision says that. Sri Ramakrishna told us. You should not doubt that these devotees are God. Then Bodhatmananda Swami gave me another lesson. In Vedanta class, he said, Tumi grihastho, you are a householder. Ankaram, no, I am a monk. No, you are a householder. Ankaram, no, I am a monk. No, you are a householder. Ankaram, no, I am a monk. So we are debating, we are fighting in the class. Then he said, let me tell you, who is grihastho? You people think that person who has wife, children, family, home, he is a grihastha. No. Tumi dehurupe grihe bashkaro kina. Your body is your home. Griho. Griho means home. Do you live in the body or not? Or do you live in the spirit, in the Atman? If you still have body consciousness, that means you are a grihastha. Yes, Mother. Still, when they ring the bell, I go for food. You know, if you do not live with these monks, you cannot get what they teach, how they teach. Do you think, oh, I am superior to these people because I am a monk. You see, they are householders, you know, wife, children, they are bound, and I am a free soul. Don't think that way. You are a grihastha. Look, no, never look down upon people. Oh, I am superior to you. Ask them questions. Yes. একটু জোরে বলবেন ইন দি আফটারনুন আই শ্যাল টক অবাউট ভূতেশানন্দ আই শ্যাল টক অবাউট ভূতেশানন্দ গম্ভীরানন্দ আই শ্যাল টক ইন দি আফটারনুন ইউ মহারাজ ওয়াজ ভেরি ভেরি স্টিল আই ড্রিম অফ হিম ইজ এ গ্রেট স্বামী. Please ask me questions. Only a few things I told you. There are so many things to talk to you. অদ্বৈত দ্বৈত মাই হেজেক ইজ রাইট ট্রু মাই স্টমক ইজ ট্রু ইট ইজ নট রং বাট ইট ইজ নট অ্যাবসলুটলি ট্রু Stomach ache goes away. Headache also goes away. What happens? They, in Vedanta philosophy, they define what is real. Trikalo abaditattam nittattam. The thing which exists in the past, present and future, that is real. Show one thing in this world that exists all the time, past, present and future, nothing. Your body was born one day, your body will die one day. This place was not, it was an empty place, the temple came. Nobody knows after a million years where this temple will go. So everything you see in this world is between time, space, and causality. The Vedanta says, time. Time begins the moment we begin to think. Mind thinks time. Oh, I came yesterday, today, tomorrow. I shall live after tomorrow. It is all time. We get the knowledge through time. This time is a lecture, then lunch, then singing. This is all time. Space, deshoka. They call it desho parichedo, kalo parichedo, and bostu parichedo. How get knowledge of that reality? Bostu, it is a table, it is a microphone. These are the objects. I have the knowledge. Space, you sit there, I sit here. Space. Space begins the moment you have a body. The moment you have no body, no space. We say it is a shiny space, that is a dining hall space, that is a monastery space. Break this building, only space. So all this name and form comes in the domain of Maya, which limits the infinite. This Maya is a mysterious phenomenon. So when you are talking about, you know, this thing, that thing, advaita, dvaita, all these things in the domain of Maya. Actually, in the absolute, there is no nothing. But you know, that I was talking that when Sri Ramakrishna stands, when Sri Ramakrishna is teaching, he is in the borderline of the infinite and the finite. That is called Bhava Mukha. The moment he looks like this, he merges into Nirguna Brahman. He goes into Samadhi. The moment he looks this side, he sees the suffering humanity. He comes forward to teach. They're suffering. I must leave them. So this is the way Sri Ramakrishna is teaching. He's merging into Samadhi the moment he turns towards the infinite, and the moment finite, he looks after human beings and he comes and serves. So we, you know, both are right. But how both can be right? And that I had a deep problem in Benares in 1970. An old monk, Taraprasanna Maharaj, Uncle Maharaj, do you believe that those who will die in Benares, they will get liberation? He scolded me right and left. Ha! We old fellows, we are waiting here to die to have that faith, and you young man, you have come to confuse us. He scolded me right and left. We are waiting here to die, thinking that we will get liberated. Because Mother said, Thakur said, those who will die in Benares, they will get liberation. Uncle Maharaj, I have a question. What is your question? Vedanta scripture says jnanat moksha. Moksha. Liberation comes from jnana, knowledge. And you thinking that if you die here, you will get liberation. And knowledge does not come until you completely erase your desires. We have so many desires. You have also desires. Vasana pushyati bapuhu, it is desire preserves the human body. If you have no desire, your body will fall right now on the floor. It is desire that is holding the human life. So we had a debate. Uncle Maharaj, then Maharaj said, Chetananda, you are right, I am right. Uncle, both cannot be right, Maharaj. Then he said, in the last moment, Sri Ramakrishna will give us knowledge. Shiva, Vishwanath will give us knowledge. You will not have to worry for us. We will be fine. I shall never forget that Sadhu scolded me. We are waiting. Anglam Dinsh Swami Shuddhananda said, if I have that faith, I would go and commit suicide in Banaras, you know. Very good place to commit suicide. You will get liberation. Sometimes there is no liberation. Ask me any more questions. Yes.
Maharaj, your story to the stupid, ambitious, and lazy. Is there any some balance somewhere?
Which one, John?
The story you mentioned about the stupid.
Telivaja,
Oh, Telivaja, Gihaja, Gihaja.
Is there any balance? You never mentioned your reply to them.
There are some monks. Telebhaja Sadhu, do you know what Telebhaja Sadhu means? They will take the address of the devotees and will tell the devotees, you know, let us go to Kailash Manasarovar, you pay for my traveling expenses. And, you know, they will come and give you some prasad, you know, and keep your name and he will call you. But it's just some of his personal, some motivation is there, you know. They're doing monastery, not that they're all bad monks. But monks also, there are tamoguni sadhu, rajoguni sadhu, sattoguni sadhu. Thakur said that. Tamoguni sadhu, if you do not give bhiksha, he will curse you. He will quarrel with you. The telebhaja, ghibhaja means ordinary monks, just beginners. And ghibhaja means that monk practices austerity, he has renunciation, he has purity, he has learning, he serves humanity very well. But always remember, some monks are very intellectual, Ramakrishna monks, highly intellectual. They are very learned people. And some monks are sadhok, intellectual and sadhok. Their intellect is highly developed, at the same time they are deeply spiritual. They are, as Sri Ramakrishna, Swami, Holy Mother told about Swami Madhavananda. He says, ivory covered with gold. Ivory is very precious. And if this ivory is covered with gold, it becomes more precious. He mentions, Mother mentions about Swami Madhavananda. Holo, hati dat shona diye bandhano. Mane, ivory is covered with gold. This monk is very learned. At the same time, deeply spiritual. Sadhuk. All monks are not really sadhuk. My goodness, there's monks, some monks I have seen. Fingers have become like this. Cannot just straighten. Repeating mantra, fingers have become like this. The sitting hours after hours, the knee does not become straight. Bent. Great sadhu. People go to see those monks. If you sit near them, you will get so much peace and joy. We have all kinds of monks. But you know, I remember when I was in Hollywood, one nun came to me and was complaining, Swami, sometimes the nuns, they quarrel. Then I told this young nun, he was very idealist. I told, look, I shall not mention her name. This is the Ramakrishna Zoo. Here we have giraffe, zebra, lion, tiger, rhinoceros. We have all kinds of animals. So if all girls are like you, it would be a lion country safari. Only one kind of animals, it will not work. Yeah, I have Ramakrishna monks, a variety, much diverse. We have all kinds of monks. I remember a funny story I shall tell you. Swami Vitoshokananda and Swami Shraddhananda in 1956, 56 or 57, they are going to Amarnath. So Vita Shakananda, there's 4 or 5 monks, they are going to Amarnath. They are in a restaurant. They are eating. They are eating egg, boiled egg. So one Punjabi gentleman, monk, came and said, seeing that monk is eating egg, you know. So he said, "Hey, Maharaj, aap kon panthi hai? What group, category monk you are?" So our Shatuda, Vito Shakananda says, "Kusum panthi." Ye to, ye panthi to kubhi nahi suna. I have never heard such group of monks, you know. Oh, ye noya panthi hai. It is a new sect of monks. Kusum means the yolk, the yellow portion of the egg. He was eating yellow portion of the egg, so he said, "E kusum panthi sadhu." We have our own jokes and another Swami, his name was Swami Prajñānanda. He was right hand of Aurobindo, great revolutionary. Holy Mother's disciple, became a monk, president of Advaita Ashrama, a great original thinker, a writer, fantastic man. So one day he was in the Calcutta bus stand, he was smoking a cigarette. The young man came, which is very unusual, a monk is smoking cigarette. Then he asked a question, "What type of monk you are?" Swami Prajñānanda gave a puff. "How many types do you know?" We have our own fun. I remember we had a Swami, he was in charge of the dairy in Belur Math. We have some cows there in Belur Math. That sadhu, you know, in winter time, barefooted, his heel cracked. So he came to Advaita Ashrama. So after lunch, we did not have room, so I gave my bed to him and I slept on the floor. So I seeing his feet, I felt very bad. So the Pujari Swami gave me a little Nivea cream, a small piece, a little leftover, because my lips are also winter time, a brick. So I put a little cream. I did not have no money to buy a bracelet. So begging a little cream, I put it there so that it will not bleed. No money. So Maharaj was there seeing his feet. So what leftover cream was there, I was rubbing his feet. I'm going, "That's old sadhu. Mahapurush Maharaj is a disciple." So I put the cream. I'm going, "Maharaj, do you know what? This Nivea cream, some young women, they put in their face to enhance their beauty. And that cream I am putting on your feet." Then he said, "Is that so? Then put more." we are not shy. I'm going to say, "Don't be a dry monk, you know." We have so much fun. Maharaj, Sundari Mera Mukhe Makhe. Tai apnar pay lagachi. Acha tai put more. I remember in San Francisco, our temple, Vivekananda House dedication. It was in 1996 or 1997, anyhow. So our Swami Tathagatananda ji was reading Chonji. Then I cautioned him that if you make any mistake, I shall catch you. So he sat on the dais. He was telling me, Mani, you go away, sit in the back so that you may not hear. I wish to call him Dada. We have a very good relationship. The uncle said, no, I shall sit here. Then he read the Chonji. Then there is a mantra, the Arogala Sutram. Bharjang manaramam dehi chitta vitti musharinim. Oh, mother, give me a beautiful bride according to my mind. So he was in 90 years old, you know. Uncle and Dada, in this old age, now you are seeking for a beautiful wife. Hey, keep quiet, chup kar. You keep quiet, don't talk. Hey, just now you said to the Divine Mother, give me a beautiful bride. And you are asking. Then he had opened heart surgery. So I called Dada means elder brother. Dada, when the surgeon cut the rib cage and opened it, what he saw? Hey, you keep quiet. keep quiet. Uncle, no. Hanuman opened it, he showed Rama and Sita. Hanuman opened it, well, inside Ram Sita. So surgeon, when he opened your ribcage, what he saw, that we wanted to know. keep quiet. We had our own fun, you know. Very good, simple, very good, Sadhu. He did the opening of this building. Anybody comes, he will still give his head to him. Please bless me so that I may die soon. Uncle and Dada, you are taking all types of blessings and more, you are living long. You are saying, them, please bless me. He will put your both hands on his head. Please bless me so that I may die soon. Uncle, the more you say, the more you are living long. What is the matter with you? You keep quiet. I was going to India in 2016. So I wrote, his love came from his heart and from his hand. Sometimes he used to bend it. His heart, his love came through his heart and from his hand. Anyhow, we are not dry monks, you see. Evening, I shall talk about Bhuteshananda ji and Gambhirananda ji and other swamis. There are so many things to tell you. I just told you a few things. Only one thing I tell you, Swami Atmagyananda already mentioned, I brought you 12 copies of Sri Ramakrishna's Samadhi. This is the first photograph taken of Sri Ramakrishna in 1879 in Keshav Sen's house in Lily Cottage, Upper Circular Road. So, what happened, I asked Disney's vice president, Mr. John Hench. He makes all this Mickey Mouse. He started with Walt Disney from the very beginning. You are the disciple of Swami Prabhupada. So I asked to make Sri Ramakrishna's Samadhi face. When Swami Vigyananda saw Sri Ramakrishna, do you know what he said? His first impression? When I saw Sri Ramakrishna, I saw him Anande Phuti Phata. Phuti means a kind of melon. It grows in part of our country. When it becomes ripened, it cracks. Perhaps you have seen pomegranate. When they ripen, they crack. But when I saw him, that he has so much bliss inside, he could not hold it. His face was about to crack. Joy of Samadhi. When you meditate, some people meditate, you know. I remember one person used to meditate in Hollywood. He has 6 or 7 wrinkles, you know. As if there's a bullfight going on. Ananda, meditation should be joyful. For that reason, I made that picture. I sold hundreds of copies, so I brought 12 copies in here. If you wish, you can buy it. And do you know what? When you meditate, it creates an atmosphere in the room. Ananda Phuti Phaja. Sri Ramakrishna himself said, Ghare Ghare Puja Habe. This person will be worshipped in every home. After this session, and I brought Swami Bhuteshananda, this is one videotape I brought. He gave in 1988 some of his reminiscences. He told in St. Louis, I brought a DVD for you people so that you can watch them after lunch. At that time, I shall sleep. I cannot entertain you all the time. That you watch, and then in the afternoon at 4 o'clock, again there will be another session. Thank you very much.